Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the people you do want to talk to on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitas, former Pirates pitcher, current Indianapolis Indians pitching coach Joel Hanrahan, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning to you, Joel. How's everything?
Hey, guys. How are you? Doing good, man. It's a nice morning here in Indy.
Yeah, nice. It's pretty nice here in Pittsburgh, yeah. Too. It's not bad. It'll rain later on, of course, but it is what it is. all right, so Keller's down there. Tell us from an organizational standpoint, Joel, what duty you're charged with and what you've been told from a communication standpoint and what you need to work with Mitch Keller to make him, to get him back here and make him a good major league pitcher.
Wow, Colin, you didn't waste any time there, did
no,
you?
No, right. Why waste any time? I don't work away in the zone. High, hard one straight away, Joel. Right to it.
There you go. Well, that, I think you just answered the question yourself there. You know, one of the biggest things with Mitch Keller, I mean, he's obviously had some success as a major league pitcher, but also has had some tough times as well. But I think one of the biggest things with him that is going to be a focus for him here in Indianapolis is to really hone in on that fastball command. You know, you guys see him probably try to pitch to the top of the zone quite a bit. And, you know, sometimes he does it pretty well. And, you know, there was a couple against the Dodgers a couple days ago where, you know, a couple of those lefties, he nailed that fastball up and away to him and got some swing and misses. So, you know, that's a pretty good pitch for him. And one of the focus is going to be, you know, being able to repeat that pitch along with the fastball down and away. You know, you can't just throw up the whole time. You got to get to two strikes and, you know, figuring out how to get the two strikes with him is going to be the goal here in Indy. So I think part of that is being able to, you know, throw that fastball down and away. And then, you know, with him, the fastball up, the curveball pairs off that really well. So just being able to get all those pitches working together and honing in on that slider that he's been doing as well. So he's got the tools, and now we just got to, you know, get them all to work together.
Joel, how much of it with Mitch do you think is mentality or confidence on the mound, and how much of that can be worked on at AAA, where he's going to be the more talented guy on the bump as opposed to, I don't know, two-thirds of the order he's going to face coming up against him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know really how you can work on your mentality. It's, you know, it's not like an overnight fix working on your mentality. It's one of those things that you just kind of have to start getting more confident and showing your confidence. And you know, one of the things that I tell my guys is, dude, you throw 97 miles an hour, like, act like it, you know, walk around like you're a bad dude. And you know, I think that's going to be one of the things for him. You know, obviously if there was a quick answer, it already would have happened. I've been in his shoes before, where, you know, when I got traded to the Pirates, you know, when, if you look at my numbers from 09 with the Nationals, I had a 7.5 ERA. I got traded to the Pirates, and I had a 1.5 or a 1.7. So, you know, that's all in the same year. So changes can be made. Things can happen. You know, whether, you know, mine was a change of scenery, and I had some good friends, Andy LaRoche and Dylan Young, who were with the Pirates, who played against me and said, dude, you stink. You know, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right, you know. So kind of made a change there. So, you know, with Mitch, we're, you know, obviously the Pirates were not giving up on him. So he's going to come down here and take some pressure off, take a little bit of the load off, and, you know, we're going to work him in easy. It's not going to be – he's not going out there expecting six innings, 100 pitches, and, you know, reading his name on the bottom line of ESPN. You know, that's not how it's going to happen here. It's going to be, hey, come in, you know, relax, play catch. Let's throw an inning today. Take a couple of days off. Maybe we'll throw two innings. you know, just kind of work back into it, kind of like a spring training buildup where, you know, it's not, you're not expected to go out there and put up 7-0s. You're not expected to go up there and, you know, have your name on the front page of the papers in Pittsburgh. You're not expected to go up there and see yourself punching out everybody on MLB Network. It's, we're going to go out there and, you know, hopefully we can go out there, throw up a zero and keep our team in the game and, you know, go on to the next day and continue to slowly get better and stronger and more confident.
Hey, Joel, maybe even not just Mitch Keller, but just pitchers in general, especially at the level where you have them. How can you get them to trust their stuff?
You know, I think really a lot of it is their peer pressure. Guys have to trust their stuff because they've got to get through their innings here. You know, when you look at the minor leagues, like, we don't go back-to-back near as much as the guys in the big leagues. We don't have the luxury of just calling somebody up if we need an arm. Guys don't want to leave their runners on base because they know that somebody else is coming in. Guys don't really enjoy coming in and cleaning up somebody else's mess. You know, they give each other a hard time about that in a fun way. So the peer pressure, the peer competition at AAA is a pretty fun thing to see. We have a pretty good dynamic here. The guys, you know, I saw a bunch of our guys getting together last night, enjoying a meal now that we're at that vaccination rate. So we've got a good group of guys here that all get along well. And, you know, trusting their stuff is really, the hitters are going to let you know how your stuff is every day. And if you don't trust your stuff, they're going to jump on it. And it's crazy to see it, but somehow they know when you're not confident on the mound. They can see it right through you, and they just kind of smell blood and go out there. And, you know, it's a tough feeling when you're on the mound not confident because everybody can see it. You don't think they can see it, but they can see it somehow. It's really weird.
Joel Hanrahan, Indianapolis pitching coach, former Pirates pitcher, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Are you guys made to instruct different, or is there an organizational sort of edict sent out now that Major League Baseball is going to crack down on these adhesives? Is something going to happen where you have to do things differently at the minor league level?
Well, I mean, obviously the guys are seeing that. They know what's going on. They're not, you know, they're all on Twitter. They're all on all the social media stuff. They know, you know, they're keeping up with everything. And to say that our house is completely clean would be a lie. You know, everybody's trying to find out ways to work around this substance thing. You know, the sunscreen and rosin is the big one that's out there right now. Like, I don't understand how you can consider sunscreen and rosin a foreign substance when you're starting a game at 7 o'clock and you need to wear sunscreen because, you know, the sun's out. And then you mix a little rosin in there and, oh, wow, it's sticky, but it's not. It's not crazy sticky where it's going to, you know, if you don't abuse it, like, you can get a little grip to it because the balls are different. You know, especially by the time you get down to the bottom of the barrel of the bag, you know, you're rubbing a ball with mud. And you're putting 100 of them in a bag together. And, you know, the longer the mud sits there, the more it dries out. You know, it's fortunately for me, I was a guy that rosin and water worked fine for me. So water and sweat. Rosin and sweat. You know, the sticky stuff is going to be, as they say, a sticky situation. And you can see it. You've seen it throughout the league. And, you know, you can see guys here making adjustments. And hopefully they come up with a substance that works for everybody. You know, that's the thing is, as long as you don't abuse it, it shouldn't be an issue.
Well, yeah, that's something we were talking about earlier, Joel, as we look at how Major League Baseball tries to dial it back, which is, you know, nobody has a problem, and nobody really ever had a problem with a guy mixing rosin and sunscreen necessarily. It was when they started to mix in the spider tack and the other really sticky stuff that that the spin rate's elevated, and it feels like Major League Baseball now, rather than saying, hey, just eliminate that spider tack stuff, is going whole hog and saying, well, no, you can't use anything anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the spider tack is ridiculous. I don't know if you guys have ever got your hands on a jar of spider tack or not, but I mean, it's like you can't even get the spider tack off of your fingers once you get it. Like, you have to, like, basically get some scissors out to cut it off to apply it to your fingers. It is a wild one. It rips the leather off the baseball. So I mean, that's going through the extremes, obviously. You know, one of the ones, you know, there's a bunch of different ones out there. One that I think is probably the best and would be the Pelican Rub, which is basically like a pine tar in a jar. I think in a way that Major League Baseball could kind of figure this thing out is, hey, maybe we, you know, rub the baseballs in something different. You know, maybe with the game balls, we can rub them in, you know, just a little bit of pine tar, see how this works out. Because to say that the pitchers are the only ones using substances, grab a position player's bat, grab it by the barrel, and, you know, your hand's going to be sticky. So there's got to be a way out there, because the balls are different everywhere you go. I felt like in Cincinnati, they rub their balls with baby powder. I always had a hard time in Cincinnati. That was just the worst place for me to pitch. And, you know, it was just by the time you get to the game in the ninth inning, you know, sometimes we run out of baseballs. And so they put a new jar out there and a new bag of balls out there, and they rub them up real quick. And, they're just trying to get it done. So they're never the same.
Those are just the balls that Dusty Baker gave to you guys, Joel. That wasn't that wasn't the ones that they used.
I would like to think that people don't do that. I like to think that everybody tries to keep the playing field even, but you know, there's a you never know what's going on in this clubhouse. And I on the visiting team in Nashville the other day, I was hawking the ball boy the whole time to make sure he was giving us the same balls, because it was hot as a mug out there.
I want to ask you about more of a success story, at least a budding success story with Max Kranick, who, like a lot of guys, you know, last season was just a lost season for a lot of guys in their developmental stage, and yet he's come up and he's done, I think, 2 out of 3 starts for you. He's pitched pretty well.
Yeah, Max has been great. And so Max last year, before the shutdown, Max has always had a couple little shoulder bugs that just never kind of go away. He was working down in Florida with some guys, Vic Black and a couple other people, and really worked on cleaning up his arm stroke and shortened up kind of like the Giolito's. So he's kind of got that arm motion right now. And then he went home with his dad and his brother. His brother used to work for us as a traveling video guy. And so he had access to a lot of videos, and they watched a lot of film and did a lot of studying and a lot of plyo ball work. And they built a mound in their backyard and really went to work and nailed down this arm path. And, he worked on it really good. He had a great alternate site training with us last year. Fastball velo was up to 96, 97, 98, just blowing fastball by guys, and really had a good cutter as well. And he's always had a decent changeup. He just never throws it. And then, his big focus for the last 4 years has just been hammering the breaking ball, just getting to the breaking ball and finding one that'll work for him. And he's finally gotten to a stage now where he feels comfortable throwing a breaking ball. He threw one for the second pitch of the game the other day and got a quick out with it. It's not going to be a Mitch Keller 12-6 wipeout curveball yet, but it is a good quality pitch that is going to let him have success. And, you know, he's kind of taking it by by himself. Like, he's got out there and been aggressive and throwing 4 pitches. And you can throw 4 pitches, you got a chance to succeed. And, you know, you said 2 out of 3 games. Like, if you looked at his third game, it was his second time facing Columbus in a week. And, he really actually, for like 3 or 4 innings, just kind of still dominated him. And then, you know, by that fifth, the way I look at it is, once we get to that Sunday start, usually the guy in AAA starts Tuesday and Sunday. So they're starting against the same team. So by the time you get to the lineup the third time on Sunday, it's really like the fifth or sixth time through the lineup. And if you kind of looked at our AAA numbers, that time for every pitcher that's pitched twice in a week has been tough. So not making excuses for him, but that fifth or sixth time in a week, seeing a guy is the tough challenge, and that's where we've kind of paid our price. But it's been so fun to watch Max. I've had him for multiple years, and watching him the other day, he looked like he's done it, been there, done it, and it's fun to watch.
Last thing before we let you go, do you hear who's making a comeback in Charleston, West Virginia? Unaffiliated ball, Tabata is on the comeback.
I thought you were going to go with the 44-year-old Joe Bimel down in Double-A.
No, there's that, too. There's that. Joe Bimel's hitting like 95 at his training facility.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. It'd be fun to see what happens. I love seeing Bimel's videos and talking to him. But, I did see your I always see your tweets on Tabata. You got some kind of love affair for him. I understand it. You know, you think about it. Like, I think you made mention of it the other day. He's only, what, 32, 33 years old, maybe?
Allegedly,
maybe.
Yes. Allegedly,
maybe.
Yeah.
Allegedly, there you go. Yeah, it'd be fun to see what happens down there for him. Sounds like he's struggling a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I think he got like a hamstring, I think. I don't know. You never know with him. I don't know if he stretched out before a game, if he just walked in 10 minutes before it started. You never know. You don't know. Hopefully he makes it back. Why is Bimo able to come back at 44? Because he's in ridiculous shape?
Yeah, I mean, if you ever watch his Instagrams or Twitters or whatnot, he's kind of – so he runs a couple different baseball facilities that he, you know, basically fell into his lap out in L.A. And, like, I mean, he's always been kept himself in shape, you know. And he really bought into the trying to figure out the plyo balls and basically he took a facility – and he said, if I'm going to teach it, I'm going to learn it first. And he dove into it and continued doing it. And his arm felt great, always felt great. He's on some kind of recovery program where he sits in a freezer of water for, you know, 15 minutes or something. I don't even know what it's called.
No thanks.
If you've seen me lately, me and recovery don't go together too well. So he's my body needs to recover from the, you know, 18 years of playing or whatnot. So I'm still in the, you know, 6-year recovery is what I'm on. So, nice. No, he just dove into it and, he loves it, man. And he loves challenging his young guys and, it's worked out for him. He's, you know, he's playing in San Antonio and I think San Diego's AAA is in El Paso where he's been living. So we're one of his facilities at. Hopefully it works out for him. It'd be kind of fun to see.
Nice. Joel Hanran, the best. Joel, great catching up. We'll catch up again soon, and we'll see you in person in short order, hopefully. So there's that.
I don't know. We'll see about that. But you guys take it easy on Mitch. Give us a couple weeks of time, and hopefully you guys will see him back up there soon.
All right.
Sounds good.
The best. Joel Hanran.
Good luck with
Thank
that recovery.
You, Joel. Yes,
Thanks, Joel.
The best. Just the best. Oh, man, I've warned him. We're going to see him soon. No. No, we're good. Yes, I do hope that he makes it up here. He is just the young players and the young pitchers gravitate toward him. You know, what he said right off the top to your question is, if you throw 97, act like it. Walk around like you're a bad dude. There's really something to that.
Although he also said, and I don't think he meant it this way, and maybe I'm twisting it and reading between the lines too much, he said if there was a quick answer, it already would have happened.
Yes.
So that indicates to me, Mitch Keller's not going to be back after like two starts in Indy. It's going to be a while he's going to be down there, not just working on the fastball location, all the stuff that Joel led with, but also working on that bad dude mentality
like
that he needs to have.
Down.
Well, we've been talking
two
about this
at a time.
For 3 hours as we led up to this interview at 9, just to mention it here and there. If you want truth, you talk to Joel Hanran. There is nothing but truth that comes from him. So he doesn't need to pump you with roses or with some sort of sell you something that's not true. I mean, that's
how he deals with the players.
Absolutely.
And that's why they like him.
That's how he was as a player. That's how he is as a person. That's just what he is. So that's why he's a go-to guy. Big thanks to Joel Hanran. You can check that out if you missed it. Odyssey app. You can go to the Rewind feature and check all of it out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.